want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5. If my numbering is correct, this will be our 31st, lesson number 31, on the subject of relationships. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to read a handful of verses. I'm going to take us to another passage after we read Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, find verse number 43. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Tonight we're going to talk about your relationship with your enemy. Your relationship with your enemy. Let me pray. Father, help us tonight. I pray that you would help my mind to be strong, help my voice to be strong. Lord, I don't need a strong mind or voice for my sake, but for the sake of the Bible that's being taught, for the sake of your Son, for the sake of these, your people. Help me to teach your book, your way. May my body not hinder the spiritual accomplishment that you would have us achieve here this evening. Take this important subject, teach us and grow us because of it, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Your relationship with your enemy. If you do not have an enemy, you can thank the Lord. Now, let me explain, though. Everybody, at one time in their life or another, will have an enemy. I don't wish that upon you, but because the devil gets involved in the lives of people, the devil has a way of causing there to be that kind of tension and that issue of having an enemy. And so, I want you to listen. If you say, I don't have an enemy, maybe you might think you don't need this teaching right now, but we'll all need it at one time or another. And you notice, it said there in Matthew 5, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." Now, I'm going to read to you another passage of Scripture. If you'd like to turn to it real quickly, you may. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I want you to find verse number 47. Matthew chapter 26. Look for verse number 47. Matthew 26, verse number 47, and the Bible says this: "While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Now, that passage of Scripture tells us about Jesus and one of his enemies. Judas had turned on Jesus Christ. But Jesus, of course, he handled his relationship with his enemy scripturally. And folks, the Bible tells us, even in Matthew chapter 5, when we read, we're to behave like our Heavenly Father. And now, Jesus, who is our ultimate example, we get to see how Jesus handled Judas, his enemy. You notice here that Jesus didn't attack Judas. Jesus didn't curse Judas. He didn't do that. He did the right thing. He did the loving thing. He obeyed the Heavenly Father's wishes concerning his enemies. He did the hard thing, if you will. Jesus did the unnatural thing. I'll make a statement. I'm not sure I would have ever thought of making this statement, but I will. I thank God for my enemies. Now, I'm not saying I've enjoyed having them, but because I've had them, I thank God for them. My enemies have made it so I could obey God's command concerning my relationship toward enemies. Maybe the greatest challenge to my Christian character has been the scriptural obedience to God's expectations placed upon me regarding my enemies. You say, why? I want to do the same thing everybody else wants to do. I want to grab them by the throat and slap them silly. And I want to do unto them as they have done unto me. It's hard. My enemies have helped to purify my Christianity. I don't want my enemies to be my enemies. But I do owe my enemies a sincere ushers, pay attention if you will. I do owe my, and everybody pay attention to me up here, and the ushers will pay attention to that back there. I do owe my enemies a sincere thanks because they have helped me to grow in the Lord. I'm indebted to my enemies. Now, I cannot make my enemies love me, but I cannot, they can't stop me from loving them. Now, I got to tell you, I cherish all my friends, and I thank God for my friends because my friends make my life easy. But I also thank God for my enemies because they require me to do the hard thing. And it's the hard things, not the easy things, that make you into what you're supposed to be. And so, thank God for enemies. Not because I want them, but because your enemies can reveal your true spirituality. Your enemies require you to live a supernatural life in regard to your behavior toward them. And the truth is, when you get an enemy, it may be one of the greatest testing grounds and the greatest greatest opportunities to figure out what you really are, and are you really willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ. The lesson tonight is quite simple. I'm going to make some statements about how you and I ought to treat our enemies. I'm not a perfect example of this, but Jesus was. I don't know of anybody that's a perfect example of it, but I think we ought to all be striving toward it. So, very simple statements, very, very simple scripture. First of all, the Bible teaches this: you should love your enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44 says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." And folks, you say that's hard. I realize that. But you don't love your enemies because of them. You love your enemies because of the spiritual condition of your heart. So it's not that you're loving them because of them. You're loving them because of Him. And that's how you do it. Jesus loved Judas. And what an enemy. What a betrayal. To be like Jesus, then, we must love those who would hate us. To be like Jesus, then, we would love those who would betray us. In other words, they may be your enemy, but you're not to be theirs. And so, the simple first point is this: you should love your enemy. If that love doesn't come immediately, you need to eventually make sure that you get to it. It's scriptural. It's what you're supposed to do. You could tell me all the bad things all day long and give me a list of everything that's wrong with your enemy, but did you know something? There's nothing we can do about that. What you can do is you can do something with you. And you might not like it. I've met people that live in known disobedience to that scripture. If you ask them, do you love your enemy? They would say, no, and I'm not going to. That is rebellion. And that is wrong. And that'll mess up your Christian life. But number one, I said, you should love your enemy. Number two, you should bless your enemy who curses you. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. This means you actively do right to those who are actively doing you wrong. We're talking about gestures of kindness, and they're commanded by God. When it says bless them, it's not just talking verbal. And I don't think you're to praise someone and lie when you praise. I don't believe in flattery. When it says bless them, I think it's actually talking about be a blessing to your enemy. Now, you say, but wait a minute, that could cause a war. Well, I think the Bible teaches sometimes gestures of kindness and love ought to be done anonymously. But nevertheless, they ought to be done. I have, with my enemies, and I would never want them to know and wouldn't tell them, but I've tried to be a blessing to my enemies. There's things that I've done for my enemies, and I just know the things that I did. I stayed anonymous about it. I know the things that I did was a blessing to them and their families. And I think that's what God tells me to do. You say, well, boy, would that be good for my enemy if I did something kind for them? Yes, it would be good for them, but really, it's best for you. It's best for you. Did you know something? When I do good to my enemies, when I bless my enemies, I feel better about me. I feel good about being able to obey a very powerful expectation that's been placed upon me. It's a spiritual expectation. We're to oppose their hate with our love. We're not to curse those that curse us. And so, point number one, you should love your enemy. Point number two, you should bless your enemy. In other words, do right to those that do you wrong. Thirdly, God uses the word do good to your enemies. You should do good to those that hate you. In Matthew 5:44, it says, do good to them that hate you. In other words, we're to do good for those who would do bad to us. And God is showing us two different parts. They do us wrong, we do them right. They curse us, we bless them. They hurt us, we help them. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. We're not talking about fair. We're talking about scriptural. We're talking about God's way of doing things. And God said, you have to understand something, God said. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are purer than our ways. Folks, we have a problem. We have a thing called the flesh with which we must contend. If we got rid of the flesh, we'd all agree 100% with what I'm teaching. But because our flesh, see, there's a part of you and me that says, okay, I'll put up with this teaching, but I don't know that I really like it, or it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. The part where we say seem, that's our flesh. That's our flesh. Because if it's what God said, it's right. It's just 100% right. So you should do good to those that hate you. We're to combat their selfishness with our unselfishness. You say, but Brother Owens, that is not natural. You're correct. It is supernatural. Good deeds are a part of the Christian life, and good deeds are a part of God's plan for your relationship with your enemy. So you're to love them, but folks, let me tell you something. Don't get mixed up about love. To some people, love is a noun. Love, its purpose is a verb. Love is action. It's just not this feeling that comes over you. If you want to love somebody, there has to be movement. You've got to be doing something. And that's why God said, bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. So, now, this is with our enemies. Number four, the Bible teaches we are not to retaliate with our enemies. In Romans chapter 12, be good to those that bother you. We are not to retaliate. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 17, the Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. That is God's way. Jesus did not attack back or retaliate. You all understand what the Bible says. You understand the power that Jesus had available. We know he had a minimum of 10,000 angels, millions of angels if he wanted them. The minute Judas kissed him with a kiss of betrayal, Jesus could have just like that and wiped the whole earth out. That's not what he did. Why? Well, he knew his father had given him a book, and the book said there's a certain way that you're supposed to behave towards your enemy. And he came down here to show us the right way to live. And it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. And Jesus did not retaliate. Jesus did not fight back. We're not to behave like a couple of second graders on the playground. I can remember when me and my younger brother would get in a fuss. If it ended up in tears or bloody noses and we're standing in front of a judge, my mom, one of the two of us would always say this, well, he hit me. And my mom would say, well, son, does that make it right? Now, I remember telling her once, I said, sure. She said, that's why I'm the mom and you're the child and it's not right. But we can sometimes act like children on the playground. Proper treatment of one's enemy may be the greatest proving ground of a Christian's true level of spirituality. Look, folks, you say, I treat the people that I get along with really well. Well, there's really no challenge to that. If you treat the people that love you well, what reward is there in that? That's easy. But when you go to treating people well that do you wrong, now you're showing a strength that is supernatural. I'm to attack the devil, but not my fellow Christian. You know, when a soldier is wounded or killed in battle by friendly fire, do you understand what a tragedy that is? That is devastating. And when we say friendly fire, you know what I'm talking about. Our soldier goes to battle and there's an opponent, but one of our men shoot one of our men. That's a catastrophe when that happens. Folks, do you realize that we are all fighting together against the devil? We shouldn't shoot at each other. We shouldn't hurt each other. And so we are not to retaliate against our enemies, according to Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Let me tell you, of course, you've heard me say this before, and some of you have heard it taught otherwise elsewhere, but there's a difference in sin and evil. Sin is what you and I would do to go against the law, but evil is a little more intense than that. Evil is virtually a plan where someone is trying to hurt others and they try to get other people involved in it. That's what evil really is. But the Bible says here, whatever you do, don't you become evil when evil comes at you. Boy, I have had people throw rocks at me and try to destroy my reputation and my character. They're not a whole lot to destroy, but what little bit I have, I've watched people try to destroy it, and I've watched them become evil toward me. I'm going to admit something to you. There's a few nights at midnight, I thought to myself, well, I hope they remember everything I know about them. I hope they know that I still know them very well. I probably know them better than anybody on the face of the earth. And parts of me would say, I've got the ammunition. I could blow people away. And you know what I have to do? I have got to bring myself under control when I begin to think that way. I can think of twice in my life I thought, I ought to just unleash myself on this thing. And then I realized, that would make me just like them. And God told me, I am not to become evil for evil. Folks, when somebody tries to assassinate your character and somebody seems to just pile on and hurt you, be careful. They may draw you out and cause you to start acting like them. You don't want to be like that. Don't let that happen to you. Now, the temptation may come. Temptation is not sin. But I wouldn't entertain the temptation for long either. You'll find yourself too weak and you'll give in to it. So, we are not to retaliate. Number one, you should love your enemies. Number two, you should bless your enemies that curse you. Number three, you should do good to those that hate you. Number four, we should not retaliate. Number five, the Bible teaches we're not to go to lost man's court with our enemies. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong?" And God is saying here, you and I, as Christians, if you've got a brother that's an enemy, you're not supposed to be going to lost man's court for lawsuits and things like that. God said, that's not the way I want you to do this. And you say, but preacher, why not? Going to lost man's court is a sign of it's an unscriptural treatment of one's enemy. Have we lowered ourselves to the point that we need unsaved people to correct us? Do we need the lost to guide the saved in their relationships? Should the heathen be advising to Christians on how to live fairly and justly among themselves? You say, well, what should I do? Well, listen to the scripture. "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong?" You say, you mean I should let them beat me? You can take it any way you want. The Bible says you and I as Christians, we should do everything we can to keep ourselves out of the lost man's courts. You may find yourself there someday, and you might not want to be there, but you dead sure shouldn't be taking yourself there on your choice. Because you do understand we're supposed to live at a totally different spiritual level than lost people. We're to think differently than them. I don't feel comfortable turning my life over to a bunch of lost people and letting them make the decisions about my life. And so, remember, with your enemy, be careful. The Bible gives us a command about going to court. The Bible tells us not to recompense evil for evil. God tells us to do good to them that hate us. God tells us to bless them that curse us. He tells us to love them that hate us. And then we're given the command to pray for our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, "And pray for them that despitefully use you." Now, this isn't saying pray for their destruction. It's not talking about praying for their death. And you might think I'm being silly there. I know Christians who actually wish death upon people that have become a burden to them. I don't think that's what God intended. I think God wants you to sincerely pray for your enemy. You should pray that your relationship with them would be restored. You should pray that they get right with God. I'm going to tell you something that I pray for my enemies. I pray that my presence and I do not make my enemies miserable. You say, why? I've been in places where my enemies were, and the minute they saw me, they'd turn as white as a ghost. And by the way, I don't hate my enemies. I really love my enemies. Anybody that's ever known me any length of time at all, I don't go around attacking my enemies. I'm good with my enemies. I can show up somewhere where they are. They turn as white as a ghost. I've watched my enemies run out of the building, and I hate that. I really do. I hate it that they are so miserable with where they're at. And so I pray that my enemies are not miserable because of me. I don't want them to be miserable because of me. And it's only fair because I'm not miserable because of them. But I don't want them to be miserable because of me. But pray for your enemy. You know something? If your enemy ends up with cancer, you do realize that they have a life. You do realize they have families. You realize they have pain. Let's not become like the heathen and like a bunch of animals and thrill at somebody else's pain and thrill at somebody else's losses. I have enemies that are they're soul winners. I have enemies that I hate it, but I got a couple enemies that are preachers. You know something? I'd love to see them win the world to Christ, and I'd love to see them preach great evangelistic campaigns. It doesn't bother me at all. They don't have to fail for me to look good in life. I don't want that. I want them to succeed, and I pray for my enemies. Let me move on. Number 7. We are to go the extra mile in regard to trying to work on our relationship with our enemies. Matthew 5:41, and by the way, that Matthew chapter 5, that's where we started. It was talking about loving your enemies opposed to hating your enemies and your neighbor. Matthew 5:41, it says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." That word twain there is not like a choo-choo twain. That right there, the word twain is two. So God is telling us, someone asks you to go a mile with them, you ought to double that up. In other words, go the extra mile. Mrs. Owens likes her cheeseburgers a certain way. She likes a cheeseburger. She doesn't want anything on it except for mustard and double pickle. Can I tell you something? It can be very difficult to go to some restaurants and get anything different than what they're used to doing. So if I go to McDonald's, not Wendy's, if I go to McDonald's and I try to get a cheeseburger and I say I would like mustard and double pickle, they almost have a heart attack and they always take the order. And I hate to do this because I really hate making people feel uncomfortable. I always have to unwrap it and look. And most of the time, it's got everything on it. But because Mrs. Owens, that's the way she likes it. I like her to have her cheeseburger the way that she wants it. And there's some effort that goes in to getting it that way. Now, listen, God, I love Mrs. Owens. We're all to love God. And God said, I want double effort. Mrs. Owens likes double pickle. God said, I want double effort in regard to making your relationships right. And he said, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. God is saying double your efforts in having right relationships. Show twice the love if that's what's necessary. Show twice the patience if that's what's necessary. Show twice the kindness if that is what is necessary. He said, and it may take some of that. Remember, folks, if the only relationships that we have that are healthy are the easy ones, we're weak Christians. You ought to be making the hard relationships successful. If the only people you get along with are the people that are easy to get along with, you're not a very strong Christian. You need to learn how to get along with some of the harder people. And then God said it may take double effort on your part. And the passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 5, it's talking about enemies. Let me move on. Number 8, we are to forgive our enemies. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus had enemies. They had attacked him. Oh, my. Do you all realize in what ways they attacked him? They attacked his character. They attacked his reputation. You understand they stripped him? And that we see him with loincloth on the cross because I wouldn't have it any other way. They humiliated him. The way they treated him, they lied about him. Now, most people in this room were not treated that way. Jesus was beaten within inches of his life. And might I say, if somebody beat me within inches of my life, okay, I might have deserved it. But I can tell you this, Jesus didn't deserve any of it. I'm a sinner. That's all I am. Jesus was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. And if the perfect, sinless Lamb of God can say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," I guess you and I could figure out a way. I mean, if the sinless Son of God could forgive a sinner, don't you think that you and I, who are sinners, could forgive a sinner? And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus had forgiven his enemy. We are to be like him. Do you understand that if Jesus didn't forgive his enemy, he'd be a sinner? He would be going against the Scripture. If he went against the Scripture, then we wouldn't have a Savior, and we'd all be doomed to hell. Because we needed a perfect Savior to make it so we could go to heaven. It's a good thing everybody's salvation is not dependent on you and I forgiving. But he forgave. And you need to forgive and forget as much as is humanly possible. Now, you and I, we don't forget perfectly. We don't have a perfect forgetter. I don't think that's a word, but it well describes here. You can't forget perfectly. It's going to pop up here and there, but you need to get out of your mind. Some of you ponder it. Some of you are miserable to this day over things you should have forgiven a long time ago. And I'm not saying you have to approve of that. You just need to forgive it. If it's still robbing you today of victory, and it happened to you 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years ago, the devil got you. He got you. And there is a way for you to forgive, but you need to forgive your enemy. And I'm not telling you you need to turn your wallet over to your enemy, but you need to forgive. You need to let go of that thing emotionally so it does not destroy you. Forgive the past. Forgive current. We even need to learn to forgive in the future. What I recommend is you go ahead and settle this thing of forgiveness. It's almost like you build a reservoir of forgiveness. You draw from it for the past. You draw from it from the current. And you already are prepared to forgive in the future. You know, I'm hoping that I have a grasp on forgiveness well enough that if somebody in this building turns on me and becomes my enemy, I'm already planning on forgiving you. It's already my plan. I want to do that. I want to live my life that way. I'm not going to wait until the situation comes upon me and decide whether I'll forgive. I've already decided to forgive. It's the right thing to do. It was the right thing to forgive in the past. It's the right thing to forgive now. It's going to be the right thing to forgive in the future. So, to me, it's a done deal. You say, well, Pastor, if I turn on you and I become your enemy, how are you going to treat me? You don't have to worry. I'll forgive you. I'm planning on loving you. I don't plan to attack you back. You say, well, you really set yourself up. This probably cost me before, and it'll probably cost me again. But it's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. So learn to forgive. Have a reservoir of forgiveness from which to draw for all occasions. You say, well, why should I forgive my enemy? Well, first of all, you're to forgive because you were told to. God said so. But secondly, you need to forgive because you have been forgiven. You've been forgiven. God forgave you. You ought to forgive. I think you should forgive because it is best for you. But wait a minute. I think you should forgive because it's best for your enemy too. I think that's what God wants. So, in regard to our relationship with my enemy or our enemies, we should love our enemy. We are to secondly bless them that curse us. We are to do good to those that are doing bad to us. Number four, we're not to retaliate. Number five, we're not to go to lost man's courts with our enemy. Number six, we are to pray for our enemy. Number seven, we're to go the extra mile. That's double duty for our relationships and for our enemies. Number eight, we're to forgive our enemy. And then number nine, we're not to be offended by our enemies. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This is where we have to work on it. I think offense is more an emotional thing than it is physical. And I think, you know, we display our physical dislike for something, but sometimes we might control the outward display. And God is saying, I not only want you to control the outward display, I want you to be pure in your heart on the inside too. He's saying, don't just not throw a fit about your enemy and want to beat him up. Get this in your heart so it's a part of your emotional being. Look, you can't stop someone from being your enemy. You can stop yourself from being their enemy. You can't stop someone from behaving offensively towards you. You can stop yourself from being offended. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you know what that word nothing in the Hebrew language means? Nothing. Nothing. We ought to be working toward not being offended. Don't let anything upset our spiritual or our emotional apple cart. Now, we do good. You know, you're very weak if you're losing it on the outside and on the inside. You've grown some if you're not losing it on the outside. God said, I want you to grow till you're not losing it on the inside as well. Don't just fake it. Become it. And that is where you're to love your enemy. You're to forgive your enemy. You're to bless them that curse you. Major deal. You know, I may have an enemy, but we are not enemies. They don't like me. That doesn't mean that I couldn't like or love them. Folks, when you minimize the offense coming at you, you maximize your part in repairing the relationship. I have some enemies. I don't want them to be my enemies. But I'll tell you this. If an enemy of mine took a step toward me, they're going to find out I'm ready to reconcile like that. I'm just waiting. I want it. I'm not on reserve. Some of us, if we're not careful though, you say, well, we got a pretty big distance between us. They took a step toward me. I'll take a step toward them. They took another step toward me. I'll take another step toward them. I want it this way. My enemy takes a step toward me. I don't know how to take any more steps toward him. I love him. I pray for him. I've forgiven him. I'm ready to reconcile. I want to have this over with. I don't want there to be tension. I can't control how far away from me they have put themselves. But I do have something about how close I want to be and how I'd like to fix my relationship with them. So, I'll repeat myself. I'll give you one more point, and I'll take my raspy voice home. You should love your enemy. Secondly, you should bless your enemy that curses you. Thirdly, you're to do good to those that hate you. Fourth, you're not to retaliate. Fifth, we're not to take our enemies to lost man's court. Six, we're to pray for our enemies. Seven, we're to go the extra mile for our enemy. Eight, we're to forgive our enemy. Nine, we're not to be offended by our enemy. I think the concept that I see, and this is my last point, I'm going to tell you how I have chosen to handle my enemies. I have chosen not to defend myself. I have chosen not to defend myself with my enemies. You say why? A long time ago, I found a hero, and I decided I wanted to be like that hero. His name is Jesus. And when they came after Jesus, he was as a sheep taken to slaughter and spoke not a word. I decided that's what I was going to do. I've tried very hard to hold to that through all the years. You say, why? Why would you not defend yourself? I don't think we're supposed to hate the haters. I don't think we're to be vengeful toward the vengeful. I don't think we're to exchange evil for evil. I will defend my Savior. I will defend my Bible. I will defend others. I can't remember when the last time was that I defended myself. God has commanded that he would be willing to defend me if I would let him. And you know what? He's always come through for me. Always come through for me. How dare I think that I could defend me better than God could defend me? You say, well, I think you ought to defend yourself, Pastor. I have to be honest. I know me pretty well. I'm not really worth defending. And if God would like to defend me, he may. Now, you're worth defending, and the Bible's worth defending, and the truth is worth defending, but I'm not. And if God would like to defend me, I'll let him. But I don't think I'll waste my time on that. I know what God said, And when Jesus set the example, I think he set it on purpose. I have a little statement that I try to live by. No defense, no attack. You say, well, you can be a punching bag. Well, yeah, punching bags bounce back. You ever seen one? No defense, no attack. Now, your relationship with your enemy is a revealer. May I tell you something? When hardship comes your way, it can help reveal the real you. In a way, hardship is a blessing. Parents, I think we believe this for our kids. Now, we don't want our kids to have to go through a bunch of things, but let me tell you something. If you protect your children from every hardship that comes their way, they're going to be so weak when they go into adulthood, it will be pathetic. Hardship reveals to you and I the real us. It reveals our weaknesses. Then that hardship, if we react properly, that hardship will make us into what we ought to be. I played football in high school. Well, I tell you, we practiced hard, drenched in sweat, just plowing into each other, getting tackled from every angle. You know why? The hardship prepared you for the real thing. If somebody is soft in practice, you think they're going to be ready when the opponent comes at you full blast? Not at all. Folks, sometimes it may be that an enemy comes into our life and it's there to reveal to us some of our emotional weaknesses. God would like that to cause us to realize we need to strengthen ourselves. And so I go back to one of my opening statements. I'm not glad I had my enemies, but I will thank God that since I've had them, they have helped me, because they helped me to see me and helped me to obey a scripture that God said would take supernatural obedience to obey, and that is to love your enemies and bless them that would curse you. If you don't have an enemy right now, you probably will someday. And when you do, let the scripture be your guide. You'll sleep better at night. You know something? I don't toss and turn over my enemies, because I'm not their enemy. I could almost guarantee you I have some enemies that toss and turn at times because they're mad at me. And I feel bad for them. I don't want them to toss and turn. I like them to get a good night's sleep. But folks, when you say, if you're not careful, when you go after your enemy, you're hurting you. You have no assurance you will hurt them, but you'll hurt yourself. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But let me say to everybody here, do you have an enemy? Is there somebody that maybe they hate you, maybe they've cursed you, they've hurt you? You know something? You might need to come and make peace with that thing tonight. You might need to decide you're going to behave scripturally about it. And you know, and this isn't just for the older adults in here. You know, longer you live, the more relationships you experience, obviously, the enemies come available. There are teenagers. You may feel like you have an enemy. There are children, somebody you play with on the block. They, you can have an enemy. Learn to love your enemy. Let's have a proper relationship with our enemies. Would you say tonight, by uplifted handed, would you say, God has helped me tonight? I think I've learned something that will help me, and God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it if you've learned or gleaned something? You may put those hands down. In a second, the pianist will begin to play, and when she does, we're all going to stand. And once we do, if you need a moment at this altar, I want you to come. Hey, you say, I have an enemy right now. Okay, I understand that. Maybe you ought to come. Some of you say, I don't have an enemy. It might be good that you came and got on your knees and said, God, reinforce me. The pastor says there will come a day I will face an enemy. Help me when that day comes to behave the way the Bible teaches. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Do you have an enemy? There's somebody that maybe you say, well, I think they're kind of out to get me. They've tried to assassinate my character. And I'll tell you something. Boy, there are a lot of verbal enemies out there with Facebook the way it is today. People just say what they want on there. Be careful. I wouldn't get into that with them. I wouldn't waste my life, waste my emotions on it. Wasn't a long time ago, I had a man just attack me furiously. Somebody said, well, what are you going to say to him? I said, I am not going to dignify his behavior with a response. So you know what it turned out to be? It turned out to be like he was out there just shadow boxing because I wasn't in the battle. Before long, people began to say, what in the world are you doing? I said, well, I'm mad at him. I said, well, nobody seems to care, especially him. Lots of good scripture on how to behave. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, recompense to no man evil for evil, pray for them that despitefully use you. And thank you, Mrs. Young. Folks, you can have a seat.